Good afternoon, all. I'd like to call the Senate Community Regional Affairs Committee to order. Today is Tuesday, May 4th. Let the record reflect the time is 3:32 p.m. Today we have present Vice Chair Senator Myers, Senator Gray Jackson, and myself, Chair Hughes. Please silence or turn off your cell phone. Thank you, Christopher Dick Rowell with Senate Records, and Nate Williams with the LIO, and Dawson Mann, our aide, for assisting us today. We have two items on the agenda. First, we'll hold public testimony on SB 81, Village Public Safety Officer Grants, by Senator Olson. A reminder that the deadline for amendments on this bill was set at Wednesday, April 28th, and no amendments were received by my office. The committee will then hear invited and public testimony on SB 46, Law Enforcement Registry Use of Force, by Senator Gray Jackson. Are there any questions before we begin? Okay, seeing none, I will now move on to public testimony on SB 81, Village Public Safety Officer Grants. We'll set a time limit at 3 minutes, if the Vice Chair could handle that. If those wishing to testify, please state your name, affiliation, and support or opposition for the record. I'd appreciate it. And I'd like to note for the record that Senator David Wilson has joined us. I'm going to gavel in and open public testimony. And looks like we have some people online. Is there anyone in the room that would like to testify on SB 81 Village Public Safety Officer Grants? Seeing none, we'll move to the online. And the first up is Mo Zamaron from Unicleet. Mo, can you introduce yourself? And if I butchered your last name, you can pronounce it correctly for us.
That is correct. My name is Mo Zamaron. I am the city manager for the village, for the city of Unalakleet, and I am voicing my support for this program. We're primarily interested in the VPO program as it relates to VPSO. We use that quite extensively here because we are very small. We don't attract a lot of applicants for our VPSO and for our chief, so we use the VPO to fill in. And there had been some talk about possibly combining the programs and doing away with the VPO title, and we're just saying that would make recruitment of any form of police protection or service more difficult if it had gone, if it went away. It does allow Unalakleet, the VPO program allows Unalakleet to provide a quality service through innovative means. We're trying out a few new ideas right now that fit within the program. So it it allows some flexibility there. And I would even add that it would be beneficial to have the VPO funding added to the VPSO grant. So I just wanted to voice support of the program overall.
Thank you very much. We appreciate your testimony today. I see some people online for questions, but no one else for public testimony. And the people on Microsoft Teams are not for public testimony. Okay, so I'm going to close public testimony, and I'm going to let the members know, the three that we have online for questions, in case you have any. Lieutenant Eric Olson with Department of Public Safety, Elizabeth Dunaski with Department of Public Safety, the Director of Admin Services, and Catherine Manfredo with the Department of Public Safety. Are there any questions from the members? All right, at this time, I'd like to invite Brix Hahn, staff to Senator Olson, to the table. Ken Truitt was not able to be here, so Mrs. Hahn, do you have any remarks for the committee, any closing remarks?
Hi, Madam Chairman, members of the committee, thank you for having me. For the record, my name is Brix Hahn, staff to Senator Olson. Nothing right now. Thank you so much for hearing this bill.
Thank you very much. Okay. So at this time, I'd like to know what the will of the committee is.
Madam Chair, I move that Senate Bill 81, Work Order 32-LS0362/I, move from committee as amended with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
Okay, hearing no objection, the bill moves from committee. We'll take a brief at ease while we sign the paperwork. We're back on the record, and we're now ready to move on to SB 46, Law Enforcement, Registry, Use of Force. I'd like to invite Senator Gray Jackson and her staff, Keith Bogus, to the table. We first heard this bill on Tuesday, April 20th, and we're going to hear it again today on May 4th. Senator Gray Jackson, just so you know, you have online for questions. Actually, we have some of the same people, Lieutenant Eric Olson with Department of Public Safety, Robert Griffiths with the Alaska Police Standards Council, Catherine Monfredo with Department of Public Safety. Those three are online. I don't see, were you expecting Michael Garvey? Because I'm not seeing him online. Oh, I'm sorry, he's on our screen. All right, so those are your lifelines today. Do you have any remarks before we go to your invited testimony?
Well, I want to say once again, Madam Chair, I want to thank you and the committee for hearing my bill. It's truly an honor to get my bill heard. And just to refresh everybody's memory, the bill takes a step towards ensuring accountability against police violence by creating a statewide use of force database. Senate Bill 46, it also ensures accountability of policing to better serve the people in Alaska. As our state and country continues to grapple with police brutality, this bill makes marginal improvements toward ensuring such transparency by requiring the Department of Public Safety to establish such a database. We all deserve to live in a world where we are equally protected and have access to the resources we need to be healthy, safe, and free from harm. It must be noted that any information about a municipal police officer or municipal correctional facility employee recorded in the database is confidential and not subject to public disclosure. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Any remarks from staff? Can you pronounce your name for the record?
Thank you. Through the record. Chair, my name is Keith Bogus.
Okay, Bogus. I'm sorry.
Staffer for Senator Gray Jackson. But you said it great. You said it great. Thank you.
So I believe Mr. Garvey is here for invited testimony. So, Michael, we will turn to you. If you could introduce yourself and your affiliation, you may proceed with your invited testimony today.
Thank you, Madam Chair Hughes, Vice Chair Myers, and members of the committee. For the record, I am Michael Garvey, representing the American Civil Liberties Union of Alaska, where I am the Advocacy Director. I would especially like to thank Senator Gray Jackson for inviting me to testify on SB 46 and for introducing the Turning Pain into Progress package of police reform legislation this session. The package is a vital step toward addressing over-policing and excessive use of force, which disproportionately impact people and communities of color. I'm pleased to express our support for Senate Bill 46, which would further our understanding of how law enforcement officers use force in Alaska and help reduce improper use of force. I'll focus my testimony on the bill's requirements for the Department of Public Safety to establish and maintain a statewide use of force database. There are three aspects about the data collection I would like to highlight as especially important. First, the database would capture data on use of force by a wide variety of law enforcement entities. When we think about uses of force, we tend to think about police officers on patrol. But SB 46 intends to document uses of force in other contexts, like within prisons or in interactions between a parole officer and a person they are supervising. All of the officers covered by SB 46 are public servants and hold immense power to use force when interacting with members of the public, especially those held in state custody. We need to understand how they are exercising these powers in Alaska, which has the second highest rate of police killings in the country. Second, the database would capture demographic and geographic data to better understand disparities and trends in uses of force. Alaska does not have a regular statewide mechanism for collecting this type of information, but independent reports show that disparities exist. For example, a recently released report by the Alaska Justice Information Center found that Alaska Native and Black people were overrepresented in incidents where lethal force was used, and the overwhelming majority of incidents involved men. This report, based on a 10-year review of Office of Special Prosecution records, points to the need to collect this information comprehensively and routinely. I proposed an amendment to Section 9 to add disability status to the type of information collected about people against whom force was used. Nationally, people with disabilities make up a third to half of all people killed by law enforcement officers, In Alaska, the Justice Center's report found that more than two-thirds of incidents involved a person showing an indicator of mental illness. And given that the Department of Corrections is one of the largest mental health providers in the state, it's important to know how its officers use force on people with disabilities. Identifying how police use force on specific populations is a matter of equal protection and revealing when intervention is necessary. For instance, if the data collection showed that law enforcement in a specific region of Alaska used force on people in psychiatric distress at a rate far higher than in other areas of the state, it might point to the need to an especially urgent need to establish an alternate type of response. Finally, the intent of SB 46 is to make the Department of Public Safety's annual report on use of force public. We understand that there are privacy concerns with any data collection. The Department of Public Safety should take care to collect, store, and make public data in a way that does not reveal personally identifying information, including through reverse identification. It should also report data in a disaggregated manner so that we can know how people who fit into multiple categories experience use of force. Making use of force data public is vital for the purposes of transparency and accountability. Data alone cannot tell the whole story on why force was used or if it was justified, but it can help reveal problems that require a change in policy or practice. It's squarely in the public interest for Alaskans to know how officers are exercising their incredible authority to use force. Consequently, it's vital for agencies and policymakers to be transparent in how they evaluate use of force data and take steps to address problems. But none of that can happen without collecting data in the first place, as SB 46 would require. I want to thank Senator Gray Jackson for inviting me to testify and for introducing SB 46, and thank you to Madam Chair Hughes and the rest of the committee for their work on this important legislation. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I'm going to take a quick at ease. Senator Gray Jackson, you had some follow-up remarks after Mr. Garvey's testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and the committee. Thank you for your testimony, Michael. I really appreciate it. And just so you know, that amendment that you suggest, I agree with it, and I will definitely be bringing it forward. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you. And at this point, I'm going to open public testimony for SB 46, Law Enforcement Registry, Use of Force. Public testimony is now open. Is there anyone in the room who would like to testify regarding SB 46? Seeing none, we'll move online. And I see we have Morgan Lim. Morgan, if you could please identify yourself and your affiliation and provide your public testimony, please.
Thank you, Chair Hughes and members of the Senate Community and Regional Affairs Committee. For the record, my name is Morgan Lim. I am a Juneau resident, and I'm speaking today on behalf of Planned Parenthood Alliance Advocates Alaska. PPAA supports SB 46, and we urge the committee to move it forward. PPAA stands with Black, Indigenous, and people of color communities as they demand change and seek to create communities that are safe and sustainable. To truly achieve reproductive justice, all people must not only have the right to choose if and when to become parents, but also the right to raise their children in a safe and healthy environment. It is the same over-policing of Black and Indigenous bodies and their communities that makes the promise of reproductive freedom unattainable, and therefore, Planned Parenthood's values demands that we support efforts to reform and transform law enforcement. SB 46 takes an important first step towards ensuring accountability of policing to better serve the people in Alaska. As our state and country continue to grapple with police brutality, this bill makes improvements towards ensuring transparency and accountability by requiring DPS to establish a statewide use of force database. According to the Mapping Police Violence Database, Alaska is tragically home to the second highest rate of police killings in the country and the second highest rate of police violence against Black and Indigenous people. mandatory reporting of incidents that employ deadly use of force, and the collection of demographic details is one critical step to having a full picture of police behavior and addressing police violence. To improve transparency, we recommend that the public database be available on DPS's website with the data available for exporting and analysis. SB 46 is a simple and common sense step in the right direction toward addressing police brutality. We all deserve to live in a world where we are equally protected and have access to the resources we need to be safe, healthy, and free from harm. Thank you for this opportunity to testify on this important measure.
And thank you for being with us today and for your testimony. We'll next move to Charles McKee from Anchorage for his 3 minutes. Vice Chair, thank you. So, Mr. McKee, please identify yourself for the record and any identification and speak to SB 46, please.
Yes, my name's Charles McKee. I'm a holder in due course, and I'm a licensed individual in the state of Alaska. So the holder in due course means the evaluation of currency nationwide is equitable and even. And so that's why I say that to bring about my comment of freedom of speech, which corresponds with the money evaluation. I did submit a 4-page document, part of my written testimony, that is titled Declaration and Affidavit of Fact and Truth. And if you can refute any of that, please attempt to. But on page 3, down on number 10, it says that family honors and rights and privileges, purely individual lives and private property, as well as the religious convictions, liberty must be respected. And that private property cannot be confiscated. See, I'm out on bail, and the only reason why I'm out on bail is because they confiscated $113,000 out of my credit account under workers' comp. So that put me in the arrears with my landlord, so I can get evicted. And then that's where the problem happens.
Charles, do you have a position on SB 46? Could you please speak to the bill?
Well, that's what I'm talking about. The bill has to include this declaration of truth and fact. I mean, it has to include them. I mean, you look at the newspaper today where the people, public servants, are capable of extracting credit out of your account. In other words, money without your knowledge and consent. That money on the workers' comp came out of my account. It didn't come out of the insurance policy purchased by the employer. I'm sorry to say, it was designed to never find out about that out of my account. And it's done repeatedly every day in Alaska and across the country. The people that represent the insurance company, lobbyists, were very effective in their insistence on keeping that under the table. So please read the 4-page document that I've sent and be aware of what was in the front page newspaper today in reference to children that were in state custody.
Thank you, Mr. McKee. We appreciate your testimony today. And with that, I'm not seeing anyone else online or in the room, so I'm going to close public testimony at this time. And I do have a couple questions. I want to open it up to committee members first. Again, we have Department of Public Safety, Lieutenant Olson, Catherine Manfreda, and then we, with the police standards, we have Robert Griffiths. So does anyone have any questions for either of those two individuals? Well, I do. So since we have the Police Standards Council, Mr. Griffiths, you're on for questions, and you're not in a position probably where you can take a position, but do you have any comments or concerns of how the Section 1 does apply to the council adopting regulations and regarding the use, requiring a police officer, probation officer, parole officer, et cetera, to report to supervise as soon as possible an incident in which an officer used deadly force. Is that something that is in the parameters of the Police Standards Council? Do you have any comments regarding that part of the bill?
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is Robert Griffiths with the Alaska Police Standards Council. I'm the executive director. To directly answer your question, Section 1 adds completely new authorities and duties to the council that it's not heretofore had.
Can you give us just a real, in just a real short summarized form, what the council does, just in case members aren't or the public aren't familiar, what the council's duties now entail?
Thank you, Madam Chair. The council is charged by the legislature with setting the hiring and training standards for police officers, correctional officers, probation officers, and municipal corrections officers. We certify officers when they have met those training standards, and we also have the authority to revoke the certifications for officers who no longer meet those standards.
And I'll follow that up with, in the training standards, do you have a standard as far as training regarding the use of force?
Yes, Madam Chair, we do. The use of force is a required topic of instruction in the Basic Law Enforcement Academy, along with constitutional rights and many of the other areas that are of concern in the bill.
And then also in that Section 1, it is having the council maintain a registry of those revocations or denials of licenses. Is, I would imagine you, the Police Standard Council, already does that. Wouldn't you be keeping some kind of a list, a database of those already?
Yes, Madam Chair. We do maintain a list. That list is actually public. Most of our decisions are posted on the Internet, and we also contribute to something known as the National Decertification Index. It's a national index reported from similar agencies to us across the country that shares information about officers who've had their certificates or their licenses revoked in their respective states.
And do you see any problem with that list that you keep now being reported annually to the legislature, since it's open to the public anyway? Is that a concern or a problem?
No, Madam Chair, it's not a problem at all.
Okay, and then lastly, in Part E on that, it would have you assist local police departments in developing rules. Is that something, since you do set standards, is that something you work with local departments on developing the rules and policies to implement the standards, or would that be a new area for you as well?
That would also be a new area for us. It's not currently something that we do as a mandated area. We are always available for advice and support to agencies, and we're happy to assist them when they ask for that type of assistance, but we do not, as a general rule, develop any guidelines or operational policies for agencies to use as samples or as examples of national policies.
Okay, thank you. Are there any questions? Senator Myers has a question for you, Mr. Griffiths.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, Mr. Griffiths, use of force, particularly deadly force, seems to have been a hot-button issue across the country for, I'd say, 6 or 7 years now at least. I'm curious if the idea of a database such as what's proposed in SB 46 has come about in the Police Standards Council's conversations over the last 6 or 7 years, and if that was something that you had ever considered doing through regulation rather than through statute.
Senator, through the chair, we haven't had the authority to mandate that type of reporting to us. Currently in statute, as I mentioned earlier, we have fairly limited authorities. Having said that, the council is cognizant of the national narrative and has had numerous discussions about use of force and regulating the training that's associated with that to help minimize it, duty to intervene training for officers, those sorts of things. We are currently undergoing a regulatory process wherein they are going to adopt some clearer regulations that deal with use of force, or rather unreasonable use of force, and duty to intervene by officers if they observe someone else committing those types of acts. And so other than that, if I haven't quite addressed your question, please let me know and I'll continue.
Follow-up, Senator Myers?
Mr. Griffiths, I'll summarize what I understood, but I think you did answer my question. Effectively, you said that you've been thinking about the concept, but that the ability to actually establish a database is simply outside of your authority that's currently given, so I appreciate that.
Okay. I'm not seeing any other questions for you, Mr. Griffiths. And so next I have a question for the Department of Public Safety. And so I'm going to start with you, Catherine Monfredo, because I believe you're the one that does collect data. So section of 9 of the bill has the Department of Public Safety establishing a statewide use of force database. And we have a lengthy list of concerns from the Alaska Association of Chiefs of Police. And I know that you're here just to answer questions and not state a position, but are you now collecting data from the various local police departments? And is anything on, as far as use of force, anything that you're currently collecting?
For the record, this is Catherine Monfredo. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
I'm Catherine Monfredo. I'm with the Department of Public Safety. Today, we are acting, the Department of Public Safety is like a portal for the collection of the national use of force data that the FBI collects. We currently have 17 local police departments reporting use of force, use of deadly force data into that portal. We pass that through to the FBI, and then the FBI will publish it based on recommendations from, or actually requirements from, the Office of Management and Budget for the population of the country that is being reported. They have varying degrees of what they will report depending on how much of the country is reporting to them.
Catherine, you said there's 17. Those are local police departments in the state of Alaska. How many local police departments are there?
Well, we, Madam Chair, we have 32 agencies reporting crime statistics, and that is, that covers like 99% of the population. There are a few local law enforcement agencies that do not report UCR statistics, so it's probably in the area of 35 or less than 40.
Okay, and are you currently receiving data through the village safety officer program?
Madam Chair, I believe that is reported via the trooper that works with the village public safety officer. The village public safety officers do not report it directly.
Okay, thank you. Do you have any comments about the section and if you want to reflect anything that you've heard from the local departments about it, whether you've had conversations or not, since they are entering data? I don't know if you've heard anything from them, but do you have any comments about what this would require you to collect?
Madam Chair, the data that is being collected currently is actually broader. There's more data elements than what this bill is requiring. We would need to add additional fields into what is being collected because I think the name of the police officer is not reported under the national use of force, but this still requires it. You know, the department is open for we want safety for everyone, and we're supportive of any efforts to make sure that happens.
So are you currently collecting age, race, gender, sexual orientation of the officer or employee, as well as the person against whom the force was used?
Madam Chair, we collect all of that with the exception of sexual orientation.
Okay. Thank you. Lieutenant, is there any other question for Ms. Manfredo? Thank you, Ms. Manfredo. Lieutenant Eric Olson, do you have any comments on Section 9 of the bill?
Chair Hughes, this is Eric Olson with the Alaska Department of Public Safety. No, Madam Chair, I do not.
Okay, and Senator Wilson has a question.
Yes, I do have a question for Ms. Manfredo. How is that information collected in terms of the person's demographics?
Senator Wilson, through the chair, like I said, there's a portal that the FBI developed, and our users log into it and add the information.
Senator Wilson, follow up?
If I could clarify, I'm talking about the person that the use of force was used upon. How do you determine their demographic information? Is that a questionnaire, or is that just assumptions made by the officer at that time?
It's based on the observations of the officer.
And so I guess since we've got you back on, the difference in this is basically two things. Instead of 17, it might be 35 to 40 organizations reporting, and it would add sexual orientation. Is that the main difference between what you're doing now and what this bill would require?
Senator Hughes, the yes to that question, and the other relatively major change is the definition of the use of force. There is not a specific definition of the use of force in the bill, but the definition of use of force of what is being reported today for the FBI program is actual bodily injury or discharge of a firearm only.
And can you tell us what this bill does? Because I can't recall right off the bat, or could you point us to the where it has it in the bill?
Yes, I can. Let me take a look real quick. I'm sure the
Keith, are you able to point us to that section of the bill where it defines the use of force?
Excuse me, Chair.
Top of page 3, there's deadly force has the meaning given in AS 11.81900B.
Yes.
That's what's there already.
Is that, Catherine, is that what your reference was?
Madam Chair, what I'm referencing is there's a mention in one of these sections that talks about preparing to use force. It's the use of force or the preparation to use force. That
would go beyond the scope of what you currently collect.
Correct.
Okay.
It talks about the use of force, of deadly force, but it doesn't talk about just the use of force.
And tell us again what the use of force by the FBI, how is it defined again?
Madam Chair, it's defined as it's causing severe bodily injury or the discharge of a firearm.
Okay, well, thank you. Some of this goes beyond the jurisdiction of the Community and Regional Affairs. I know this bill goes to State Affairs next, and they're the ones that really have jurisdiction over some of these things. I just wanted to have an understanding. Senator Myers has a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Manfredo, I'm curious. We're talking about demographics. I'm wondering if there's other demographics of the I guess victim, for lack of a better term, such as nationality, income class, something along those lines that you collect as well?
Senator Myers, through the chair, ethnicity is captured, but the other but that in addition to what is in this bill, but not anything other than that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And I think we did find the reference on my aide found at the top of page 2. It has to do with the regulations the council would adopt, because it would be an incident in which an officer used deadly force or prepared to use deadly force against a person. So thank you very much for being online with us. I would ask members to refer to the Association of Police Chiefs with their concerns, and I think when the State Affairs Committee looks at that, they'll probably maybe get into the weeds a bit more on some of this, because we want this to work across the state, of course. So are there any other questions for our experts online? With that, thank you very much. And I just want to mention to all listeners that we do have an email that you can send your written testimony or questions to, and that is SCRA. That stands for Senate Community and Regional Affairs. So SCRA at akleg.gov. So any further comments or questions for the sponsor? Any remarks you'd like to make before we set this bill aside?
Madam Chair and committee, myself included, I just want to thank the committee once again for hearing my bill, and I look forward to it moving to the State Affairs Committee. Thank you, Madam Chair.
And thank you very much. And I will say that I've spoken with the State Affairs Chairman, and he is interested in all these bills having to do with law enforcement. And so we will consider providing those to him. I think as the session winds down, he may have maybe a time constraint to work on all these things, but I know he's very interested in it. So we're setting SB 46, Law Enforcement Registry Use of Force, aside. And I will let members know that our next meeting in this committee will be Thursday, May 6th, when we'll hear invited testimony on SB 131, Workers' Comp Disability for Firefighters. We're also going to hold public testimony on HB 10, Hunter Bay Marine Park, Onegin Cemetery. So seeing no other business before the committee, we will adjourn. Let the record reflect. The time is 4:12.